These agreements prove that the nations of the region are breaking free from the failed approaches of the past. The people of the Middle East will no longer allow hatred of Israel to be fomented as an excuse for radicalism or extremism, so important. And they'll no longer allow the great destiny of their region to be denied. No heaven.
Yes, yeah. President Donald Trump, you want to talk about a guy that is a friend of Israel, a friend of the Jewish people. That was Donald Trump yesterday. And look, the timing, folks, could not be better. Coming up this Friday, of course, it is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, year number 5781 for you Jews at home keeping score, 5781. Do you know Bernard? Good morning, Bernie, by the way. How are you, handsome?
Sydney, I could be a lot worse. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, you could be better, too.
I could be in a wildfire.
You could be in a wildfire. That's right.
And this damn haze from those wildfires. I mean,
right.
do we need this?
No, we don't need this.
No, not
you could also be on a boat, by the way, in the Mediterranean with, you know, three naked ladies and a bottle of tequila. You could be that, too. But,
yeah. Well,
do you realize
one way to look at it.
That in 2040... You know, after we celebrate the Rosh Hashanah New Year on Friday, that 19 years later, it'll be the year 6,000 in the Jewish religion. And do you know that in the year 6,000, and if I'm getting this wrong, Heschel Jorgenbaum, Dov Hikind, Alan Dershowitz, all the great Jews of New York can call me. Us, I should say. The year 6,000, the Messiah, the Moshiach, is supposed to appear.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we're running out of time, is what I'm telling you.
So what is it now, 57-something?
57-80.
All right, so we have 2,020 years.
We have 19 years after Friday, because it'll be 57-81. Boy, your math is great. 57-81
no,
plus 19 is 6,000.
You said, no, 57-81. Okay, so then you go up to 59.
Right.
And then you go up to 60, so it's another 100-something.
No, it's not. 2040 would be the year that we're supposed to see the Mashiach.
Well, it's not a matter of 19
years. Well, you're right about that. It's not the math that doesn't compute that. I'm wrong there, aren't I?
Yes.
So why does Wikipedia say 6,000 is the year of the Mashiach?
You're asking me about Jewish religion?
Well, I don't know, but sometimes I'm asking you about the...
I just knew your math wasn't exactly right on the money.
Listen, before you start breaking my balls about
I'm
the Jewish religion...
I'm not breaking your balls. Your math, you were like 19 years. It sounded like it was longer than 19 years.
I asked you one time, more than one time, almost annually on the Bernie and Sid show, Easter, every Easter, do you have to go to church on that Friday? Not Good Friday. What's the day before Good Friday?
Holy Thursday.
Right, and you always get the answer wrong every year.
Yeah, well,
you were an altar boy.
That's right. I do not claim to be an expert.
You know,
on my
Green.
Religion. No,
no.
I mean, you know, it's been a long time. I was an altar boy. I don't know all the holy days of obligation off the top of my head.
You love Jesus.
I thought
though.
It was Good Friday was a holy day of obligation.
That's wrong. You don't even go to church on Good Friday, right?
You're supposed to.
Oh, you were supposed to.
I thought you were supposed to.
Right.
But we have to work. They don't give us off.
This is, who needs the Reverend the Rabbi on Sundays when you've got Bernie and Sid
That's
every
right.
day of the week?
God bless.
We know nothing.
We know squat.
But on a serious note, Friday is Rosh Hashanah. And now a couple of days before that, this picture on the cover of the New York Post, and I mean this sincerely, I'm going to speak on behalf of all the Jewish people, all the pro-Israel people, which does include Bernie. Bernie's a Zionist and loves Israel.
I love this picture.
This is an amazing picture. Bibi Netanyahu. President Donald Trump, the foreign minister of Bahrain, where Bernie actually went for his bar mitzvah back in 1973, and the foreign minister of the UAB, the Arab Emirates.
UAE.
UAE. Look at these four men in this picture. How historic and amazing, Bernie. You want to be in a good mood today, folks? You want to start off today and the new year the right way. How amazing is this picture on the cover of the New York Post?
You're falling for this? This is just a distraction because of all the COVID deaths.
It is.
The president's trying to distract. That's all it is. There's no big deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a total distraction. If you ask Nancy Pelosi. But look, I'll tell you what. The last time that you had a peace deal like this, it was Jimmy Carter and Anwar Sadat.
It got him killed.
It got him killed. That was my point. That's how big a deal it is.
It's huge.
That you can get, that this president can get not one, but two Arab nations to officially recognize the existence of the state of Israel.
Says he's got two more coming. He's not even done yet. So it is an amazing thing. And when you consider, and I don't want to bash Barack Obama. It's getting tiring already. I think everybody knows how I feel about Obama, how Bernard feels about Obama. But the one place where Obama failed miserably, and this is part of my frustration with my brother-in-law Harry and my sister Alana. Harry's parents were Holocaust survivors. He leads the Seder every year for my family during Passover. He goes to shul. He's like a real Jew. And I don't understand for the life of me how any real Jew can miss Barack Obama. This is a guy that made fun of Bibi Netanyahu. You read the stories, right? One time he made Bibi leave the White House through the back door.
He made him wait while he had dinner. Bibi showed up. And he was like, you tell him to stay here.
Right.
Bibi was like, I got to sit here and wait for this guy to come down. What am I doing? Why am I sitting here? I have things to do.
That's pretty good.
And he would not come out.
Yeah. How come all of your Jews sound like Jackie Mason?
No, come on. That sounds like Bibi. That's a good Bibi, bro.
No, that's a pretty good Bibi, yes. He did do that. And then, of course, we know that the last week that Barack Obama was in quote-unquote power, he sent a pallet of cash to the Palestinians, which went right to Hamas, which went right to Iran, who wants to destroy Israel.
Well, it went straight to Iran. I mean, it went straight to Iran is what those pallets of cash went to. I mean, $150 billion.
No, there were two different cash transactions. One was to Iran, the whole hostage nonsense, and one was to the Palestinians.
He gave some money to the Palestinians, but the pallets of cash, they that was
the airplane, that was Iran,
right.
But he did give backdoor money to the Palestinians.
Yes, he did. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He wanted to go back to 1968. He never, ever recognized the Golan Heights as part of Israel, which Trump has done. He promised, like the other six presidents, to move the embassy to Jerusalem. He didn't do it. President Trump did do it. So all I'm saying is, on this eve of Rosh Hashanah, what we're saying, Bernie and I, on this eve of Rosh Hashanah, which is really tomorrow because it starts on Friday, if you're Jewish, which I am, can you tell from Sidney Ferris Rosenberg that I'm Jewish?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And Bernie, who is not Jewish but may as well be, because he did have one Jewish girlfriend, and he was, he's a Zionist. You know that President Trump is a friend of Israel, and the last president was not. Is that the bottom line?
Not only is this president a friend of Israel, I mean, he's a BFF of Israel and Bibi Netanyahu. Unbelievable. They're naming towns after him in Israel. The Golan Heights, they're calling it Trump Town or something like that.
Oh, they're actually going to rename it?
Oh, yes.
No, they're not.
They actually have named towns after this president.
Like officially towns?
Officially. And
you could be Tel Aviv and you could walk down Trump Avenue.
Yeah, you got stuff like that going on. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is above and beyond just a friend of the state of Israel. I mean, George Bush was a friend of the state of Israel. He didn't move the embassy.
No.
No, we can't do that. You might have World War III, I'm told. Yeah, well, instead we had the Iraq War with George Bush.
Right, but let me ask you this, because you are, when it comes to history, there's nobody better. You brought up Jimmy Carter and Anwar Sadat. And Sadat really was murdered for doing what he did.
Exactly that.
Right.
This. For exactly what happened yesterday in the late 70s.
So is it fair to say then, Bernard, since Jimmy Carter, we've had, of course, both Bushes, Reagan, Bill Clinton, Obama, and Trump. Jimmy Carter took over in 1976 or 77. So is it fair to say in the last 40-plus years that the two presidents that did the most for relations between Israel and the Middle East and Israel and the United States are Trump and Carter? And I ask you that because I really thought all these years that it was kind of known that Jimmy Carter was an anti-Semite, even though he did this deal between Israel and Egypt.
Yeah, because he's very, very sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. So people construed that to be, well, he hates the state of Israel. But he did the historic deal with Anwar Sadat in Egypt. He got Egypt to recognize or at least make peace with the state of Israel. And for that, he got a Nobel Peace Prize. But this with the president is even better than what Jimmy Carter
even
did. He's built a coalition of these Arab nations, and Saudi Arabia is soon to follow. They're all aligned with Israel against the state of Iran. And it all started with dismantling that Iran nuclear deal that was a disaster.
Oh, God.
And sending money to them, all that stuff.
Oh, John Kerry should go to prison for that. He should really go to prison. Nobel Peace Prize to Donald Trump for what he's doing now. And yeah. John Kerry should go to prison for that Iran deal that he put together with Barack Obama a couple of years ago. So Rosh Hashanah is coming up on Friday, which reminds me, too, and I need the audience's help with this. My son Gabriel is going to be 12 years old in November. And as you well know, Bernard, when a young Jewish male turns 13, he gets bar mitzvahed.
Yes.
Well, usually it's at least 2 years before that you start to sit with a rabbi, start to, daven, learn your Haftorah, get ready for mm-hmm. your big bar mitzvah day. Well, we're 14 months out for Gabe, and we haven't done a thing. We haven't. He hasn't had one Hebrew lesson. We haven't figured out where he's getting bar mitzvahed. So the point is, Rosh Hashanah is coming up on Friday. President Trump does this amazing deal for Israel and the Middle East. And it's a reminder that my son is getting bar mitzvahed next November, and I've done nothing. I need help out there. I need some rabbi to step up, call the Bernie and Sid show and say, I am going to tutor Gabriel Rosenberg for his bar mitzvah.
Who better than Dov Hyken? He's a rabbi.
Is he a rabbi?
Yeah, he is.
He's ordained. He's whatever you call that stuff.
Yeah. He's whatever you call it. I don't know. Don't ask me. Dov Hyken is a certified rabbi.
Will he come to Manhattan, or do I have to go to Borough Park?
Well, it depends on
I'm famous. So.
You work out the terms with him, but he loves you and he loves the show, and I'm sure he's the guy to step up.
What about Heshy? Is Heshy a rabbi?
I think he is.
I think he is too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Organbaum, yeah?
Yeah, Heshy Organbaum. That's another one.
Right. What about Rudy Giuliani?
You got a lot of friends.
Is that Rudy Giuliani a rabbi?
In spirit. In spirit only. He's been circumcised, I can tell you that.
Oh, I know that too. How do you know?
Well, I talked to Donna Hanover years ago.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that was a long time ago.
Oh, that is a good reference.
Long time ago.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. A lot of laughs already. We got a great show coming up today. Two of the best ladies God ever created, ever. Diamond and Silk, they're stopping by today.
Now, you talk about a lively duo right there.
Oh, my God.
And on the cusp, on the edge of the Blacksit movement.
Right. And then talking about the Blacksit movement, the lady that we both love and I tweet back and forth with all the time, Candace Owens, is going to stop by today. And also the possibility of Michael Goodwin, New York Post, and attorney Alan Dershowitz, who's suing CNN for $300 million.
Yeah, man.
So we got a monster show coming your way. It's a Hump Day Wednesday with Bernie and Sid. Keep it right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I thought love was only true
in fairy tales. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Simulcast, News Talk, 107.1 FM, Eastern Long Island. All right, Sidney, speaking of politics, Joe Biden was down in Florida. He got out of the basement. He actually went. Remember, he was exiting his mansion in Delaware, and he was like, somebody said, where are you going to be tomorrow? And he goes, I don't know. And his wife said, we're going to be in Florida, Joe. Well, it turns out he was in Florida, and he was no better. He was still very, very confused, Joe Biden. And
where was he? In Miami?
No, Tampa.
Oh, Tampa.
And believe it or
West
not,
West Coast, yeah.
You know who showed up? Not Biden supporters. Trump supporters showed up.
Tom Brady?
A couple of hundred, yeah. Yeah, Tom Brady was there.
He's a Tampa guy. He's a Trump supporter.
That's right.
Yeah.
But maybe he was in the crowd. I don't know. I didn't see Tom Brady. But anyway, I'm serious about this. So we talked about Biden being incoherent. Again, it's just every day. I don't know if it's funny or if it's not funny, but I think it is funny, actually. But take a listen to this.
He says, daily troop updates. U.S. troops died in Iran and Afghanistan. Harris-Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort.
All right, that was the Harris-Biden administration.
Did he mean Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yeah, that's right. He screwed up Iran with Iraq,
yeah.
And he said the Harris-Biden administration.
Right, which she said a couple days, ago, she talked specifically about the Harris administration.
That's exactly
and
right.
And she got hammered, so she changed it.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, but this is the plan. I mean, let's face it. This guy, forget about lasting 4 years. He might not last 4 months. This is another example of his incoherence of his, his dementia from yesterday.
If you could take care, if you were a quartermaster, you can sure and help take care of running a department store thing, where in the second floor of the ladies department or whatever. You know what I mean?
He's wearing a mask. But if you can run a quartermaster, nobody knows what the hell he was talking about. The president yesterday actually, he put it right on the table. Listen.
He's reading notes and he's reading teleprompters all the time and he doesn't read them well. The man is shot. Let's face it. We can't have a man who's shot because you know who's not shot? Putin, President Xi, Kim Jong-un, they're not shot. They're world-class chess players. Joe isn't equipped to be president. He's shot.
You hear that? He's shot.
Well, and the other guys, they're not shot, except, I don't know about Kim Jong-un. Isn't he like in a coma or something?
No, he's out.
He's okay.
I told you not to pay attention to that.
All right.
And he's fine. He's fine. They're all shrewd, evil, vicious, aggressive people praying, all these guys, that this dotard gets elected. And finally, just one of the Trump supporters outside of that Tampa event with Joe Biden. Latinos for Trump, it's a big deal. They're swinging his way, the president's way. And this is why Latinos, because a lot of them come from places that were socialist, that caved in. It was a disaster. And they see what Sanders and AOC and these guys are making Biden do, what he's going to implement. And this is what the Latino Trump supporters said outside the Biden event yesterday.
They all supported the president because people from Venezuela and Cuba, they live through the socialism. They know what it is. We don't want it to repeat in this country.
That's exactly right. We don't want it. They've experienced it. And young people here, anybody that's for what they're advocating, has never experienced the disaster that will ensue. On the Bernie and Sid Show, 1-800-848-9222. We'll come right back. Peace train, oh peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it yes, could folks. Be something good.
There is hope. Started the show with Imagine peace by John Lennon. This is Cat Stevens, Peace Train. Shame what happened to this guy. It's such a wonderful song, such a great talent. Now he's like the head of the Taliban or something. I don't know.
Not even close.
He's like Yusuf Ahmad Mahmoud.
He just reverted to his origins.
Yeah.
Or his roots.
Yeah, he's a terrorist now.
Oh, he's a Muslim. He's not all Muslims are terrorists.
No, he hates the Jews.
He had two Muslims at the White House yesterday.
I understand
making
that.
Peace with the Bibi Netanyahu.
It's like I'm talking to my daughter. I get it. I know most Muslims are great people.
Okay.
Pat Stevens hates the Jews.
No, he does.
Yes, I swear to God he does. I swear to you, I'm being serious.
Well, I've never seen anything about Cat Stevens hating the Jews. Yusuf Islam is his name.
Whatever his name is, he's no good. Well, Dov Hyken will tell you, because anytime we bring up the Jewish people, as you did the first segment this morning, Bernard, you always bring up Dov Hyken.
Yeah, why not?
No, listen, I've done more than one, I think three now, rallies in New York City alongside the great Dov Hyken, in an attempt to abolish anti-Semitism and protect the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about Rosh Hashanah coming up on Friday, and the Moshiach supposed to be here in 6,000. And then I mentioned my son Gabe has to get bar mitzvahed. And you said, well, maybe Dov can help him. Because as of now, 14 months out, he has not taken one Haftorah lesson. I've done nothing. And just like that, as if you spoke to God himself, Bernard, Dov is calling in.
Who I believe is a rabbi.
He's the shamash of the shul.
See what I'm saying?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the great assemblyman, Dov Hyken. Good morning, Dov.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, your problem is solved.
Gabriel
is in business. We'll deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. He will be ready.
Wow.
When the moment comes, he will make you proud.
Oh. my God.
That
so
is great.
I'm volunteering. I'm ready. I'm coming. I'm coming over.
That this, is it, very, that's really cool.
This is like having a pickup basketball
really
game in the park.
You have nothing to worry about.
No, this is like having a pickup basketball game in the park and Michael Jordan says he's going to come play. That's I'm equating you to Michael Jordan. You are the king of all Jews. Yes. Thank you, Dov Hyken.
Oh, my God. I'm there. Just give me the address and I'll be there.
Well, on a serious note, though, he'll be 12 in November. So that puts him about 14 months out from the bar mitzvah. So how often should he be sitting down with you or somebody like you, obviously, and learning his Haftorah? Because I'd imagine now he'll have to do a bunch of it in English. He can do that, right?
Well, the question is doing the Haftorah, as you said. The question is also, do you want him to read the portion of the week? Now, that's a whole different ballgame. If he's going to do that, read the entire Torah part of that week, then he's got to start immediately. I'll be over at the house this weekend.
Wow. Hey, you can come for the second Rosh Hashanah dinner on Saturday night. We're making brisket. You'll love it.
I'm telling you right now. Listen, I'll bring over some surprise steak, some filet mignon, and we're in business.
He's in the celebration. Post Malone will be performing up at, where is it, the old Four Seasons? Whatever it is. Hey, listen, yes. Dov Hyken is on the phone here with Bernie and Sid. That's a very, very nice gesture. Thank you for that on behalf of my partner, Sid Rosenberg. Dov, but I have to ask you now, yesterday, this huge Middle East peace deal that the president put together with not one but two countries officially recognizing the state of Israel, and, of course, the whole thing, the coalition that he's put together with the Arab countries and Israel against Iran, moving the embassy. What do you think? Do you think it's going to move the Jewish vote towards the president this time around?
I was at the White House yesterday. It was an amazing event. It was extraordinary.
Oh, you were there? Were you personally invited by President Trump?
That's correct, yeah.
Wow. We had no idea.
Yeah. I was there yesterday, and it was just extraordinary. I mean, people who love peace, which should be everybody, including Democrats, by the way, what the president did is just beyond extraordinary. Two countries in the Middle East are making peace with Israel, and not just peace, but a warm peace. I mean, you can go to hotels now in these countries, UAE, and kosher food. I mean, I spoke to the rabbi from Abu Dhabi yesterday who was at the White House, and he says he's got a quorum. In fact, Gabriel can actually go to Abu Dhabi and do his Torah reading there.
No, it's really incredible. It really is.
It's a fact. I mean, this is everyone. I mean, I know Democrats, jumping off the roof because they can't take any success on the part of our president. But no one can deny peace. Peace is something that everyone loves and everyone desires and everyone wants. And look, the president just did it.
Yeah.
I mean, give him not one Nobel Prize, give him two.
Yeah, agreed.
If Obama got one, he deserves two.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Israel, and again, as a Jewish man living in the United States and very pro-Israel and all that, I'm a little embarrassed. I've never been there. So Gabe's bar mitzvah, as we talked, I know.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know.
Oh, my God.
So here's a choice. Here's a choice I gave my son. 14 months from now, we can do what my father did, God rest his soul, which make like a $30,000 bar mitzvah and have all my degenerate friends sitting there eating cake, and which, by the way, we may not be able to do in 14 months because of the COVID. So we said, Gabe, we can make you a party or we can all go to Israel for the first time. I imagine, Dov, you like the latter choice better, yes?
It will, I promise you, Sid, it will be the most extraordinary experience for Gabriel, for you, your family. Two of my grandchildren had their bar mitzvahs in Israel. They live in New York. It is an experience he will never forget. And if you guys have never been there, please go and don't forget to invite me because seriously, I will travel to Israel just to be there.
No, listen, I myself would love to go and visit the Promised Land. One of these days,
You gotta do it.
I mean, it's my religion's, history as well, yes. Obviously, and a lot of people's religions. But Dov Hyken, look, you're a great guy, and, I don't know what else to say, but thanks for what you do. Are you gonna switch parties, officially from Democrat to Republican? How about that?
Well, from now until the election, I will be a Democrat and urge every Democrat to consider with what's going on in this country, with police officers being shot, with people's property being destroyed in city after city, people should be afraid of electing the Democratic administration. If you want Bernie Sanders, Tlaib, Omar, Linda Sarsour running this country, then vote for the Democratic Party. Otherwise, I urge you to vote for President Trump.
Last one from me, and Bernie and I both wish you a happy new year, Rosh Hashanah, coming up on Friday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I believe the year becomes 5781, and from what I know, and I know very little compared to you, the Moshiach is supposed to finally get here around the year 6000. Is that what the Torah says?
Well, it you know, I grew up as a kid, you know, they talked about the year 6000 as the world, you know, one way or another, hopefully it'll come before 6000, but 6000, it's just something that's in the Talmud. It's not necessarily something that is, you know, a definite. It's happening at 6000. So, you know, whenever it comes, we'll welcome it. We'll be very happy. It'll be wonderful. By the way, if it comes very soon, you know, Gabriel and the family will be in Israel anyway.
Right. That's great. Well, listen, thank you for calling in this morning.
Listen, I love you guys, and thank you for being there all year for the people of the tri-state area and America. You guys are amazing in what you represent, and I'm always delighted to be with you guys.
We love you,
happy
too.
Happy and healthy.
You, too. Happy New Year. There he is, a great assemblyman, almost four decades in Brooklyn, mostly Borough Park. Our dear friend Dov Hyken, didn't even know when I spoke to him this morning, he was actually at the White House yesterday. That's
no
a
clue.
Big deal.
Wow, that is a big deal.
Right?
He's so cavalier about it.
Yeah,
I happened to be at the White House yesterday. What?
I know. God, it's good to be somebody important, right?
I guess. I wouldn't know.
I was at the pizza store yesterday on Broadway.
You know? I went to the gym. I probably have a coronavirus right now.
You know, I got one story for you, too. I was at the tanning salon yesterday, and I saw my friend Raul, and the problem is it's getting too chilly now to lay out and tan, and I have to be tan because I'm tanorexic. And I got to tell you a story later on in the show about an old lady. When I say old, Bernard, I will tell you she had to be 80, 85. White hair, real old, who actually followed me and Danielle for blocks and blocks because I was not wearing a mask outside. I swear to God.
A COVID cop.
A COVID cop followed us and said, well, quote, I will follow you home until you put a mask on because you may not be aware of this, but there's a pandemic.
Well, listen to me. This is what de Blasio and Cuomo have told them to do. Rat out your neighbors. That's their MO. That's what they want the citizens of New York to become. Rats. Ugh. Upper West Side rat bastards.
Yes, I was on 73rd in Amsterdam. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Diamond and Silk going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour. That is hugely entertaining. Looks like Candace Owens next hour, maybe Michael Goodwin and Alan Dershowitz as well. It's a huge show Wednesday with Bernie and Sid.
Has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jack.
The great Bobby Darin here, Mag the Knife. Joe Piscopo does a very good Bobby Darin, too. I know he's on some other station right now up against us, but I like him, so. Does a very good Frank Sinatra, good Bobby Darin. And I got to go to Zabar's today because I got to get the rest of the stuff for Rosh Hashanah for this weekend. It's a lot that goes into it, Bernie. It's not just...
No, you don't just show up and eat a bagel.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I know.
And
I think
some lox.
The brisket, the turkey, but then you got all the other stuff, you know, the matzo ball soup and the kugel and the real juice stuff, you know, the real juice stuff.
I don't like the way you say that.
You know, if I wasn't Jewish, that would sound nasty.
Yes.
Right. But being that I am Jewish, I can do it. So.
Go right ahead.
I think it starts on Friday night. Abe in Brooklyn, you got 10 seconds. It's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Yes, I just wanted to correct you about that. It's not Friday. It's Saturday and Sunday is...
What's the first dinner?
And like Jewish holidays, like all Jewish days, they start at sunset.
Right, Friday night, right?
Right.
So. Okay, I love you. Thank you, Abe. Happy New Year. We'll take a short break.
Checkmate.
Thank you. Great hour, and we got three more great hours to come your way. Bernie and Sid, keep it right here.
Fernando on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app and out on Eastern Long Island. Simulcast on News Talk 107.1 FM. And I got to tell you something. Our elected leaders are really, really, as we know, the Democrat elected leaders here are just horrific. Horrific. And you hear from Schmuck Schumer all the time on various things on Sundays. Things that really mean nothing, essentially. Nothing about the riots. Nothing about the lack of commerce occurring here in New York City.
You know what he's been doing lately?
Nothing.
He's been hanging out with Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, that's the thing.
They're trying to raise money for comedy clubs.
Comedy clubs.
Mean, really?
What about the restaurants and the small businesses that were unable to open for so long that have died, that have gone away? Where were you the past 2 or 3 months exhorting the creep, de Blasio, and the smug Cuomo to get them reopened? Where were you as the budget here is drying up statewide and citywide, and now we got to beg the federal government for money because we're not doing any business?
And by the way, we have a great relationship, Bernie and I, with Caroline's, which I think is the best comedy. I know the comedy cellar and the comedy shop. Caroline's is the best comedy club in the city. When they were open, we were getting everybody.
We had them all.
Everybody would come in, and Greg is a great guy there, obviously. But if they need money, the one guy in this city that can write them a check today for $1 million.
That was Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Yeah, no, he could. I guess he was, well, look, Jerry Seinfeld is trying to, that's his forte, his comedy, so he wanted to spotlight the comedy clubs. Okay, that's fine. But Schmuck Schumer, he finally comes out and he realizes, yeah, businesses need to be reopened. We flattened the curve 6 months ago, for God's sakes. So only because Jerry Seinfeld was involved does this guy show up. That's
right.
The only reason.
Right.
Let me attach myself to a star.
You know who else did that? Bill de Blasio. You may remember this. I'll test you right now. The great Bernie Berg. Give me some more Jeopardy music here. Meanie, thank you. The show has great production value. Take a listen to this. Watch this. I told you, by the way, Ken Jennings is on Jeopardy every night now. I don't know what he does, but he's on every night. Here's your question. In the same spirit, Bernard McGurk, as Jerry Seinfeld hanging out with Chuck Schumer, don't look at me like that, Bernie. What very famous rock and roll star spent a day at City Hall with Mayor Bill de Blasio?
Billy Idol.
Yes!
Yes, check your engine or something. Don't idle. That's right. Billy, stop idling or some stupid, idiotic nonsense.
The idling thing, that's right.
That was just before the China virus hit. So anyway, Schumer is at the comedy club over the weekend, and I got this tape. It was just unbelievably awful. This is Chuck Schumer trying to crack a joke. Listen.
Mrs. Walters is brought before the judge, and the judge rolls his eyes. Mrs. Walters, you're back. Yes, Your Honor, you're back. I'm back. And what did you steal this time, Mrs. Walters? Your Honor, I stole a can of peaches from the supermarket down the road. The judge says, but Mrs. Walters, look, I know you're a kleptomaniac. I know it's an illness. I know that you can easily afford a can of peaches. But for Lord's sake, Mrs. Walters, this is the 17th time you've been brought before me for shoplifting this year, and it's only March. I have no choice. I've got to sentence you to some time in jail. Now, how many peaches were in the can, Mrs. Walters? Your Honor, there were 4 peaches in the can. I have no choice. I'm going to sentence you to 4 nights in jail, 1 for each peach. He's about to bang the gavel and pronounce sentence when a gentleman in the middle of the room gets up all agitated. Your Honor, may it please the court, I'm her husband. She also stole a can of peas.
I see. Because there's 4 peas in a can of peas. So she'd be in jail longer because she's annoying. All right, that's level 1.
This is what he's doing.
What?
This is
what club was
Schmuck
that?
Schumer. This is the Gotham Comedy Club with Seinfeld. Nope. This is what he's doing. I mean, forget about all the restaurants and the 25%, and they got to close at midnight, by the way.
I know.
Hurts. Jerry Seinfeld's there. I'll show up and we'll help the comedy clubs.
Well, listen, you're a guy that's done stand up. I think you're the funniest guy I know and the smartest. In fact, I remember, and I'll give you credit for this. I was scared to death the one night they highlighted you and I at the Friars Club. You remember that?
I do, yeah.
They honored you and I, and you were brilliant that night. We wrote nothing. We weren't prepared. You were great. What was the biggest problem with Chuck Schumer's joke? Besides the fact it wasn't funny.
Well, his delivery, of course.
But it was also too long.
Oh, way too long.
You got to be like Jackie Martling. It's got to be, you know, what did the priest say to the rabbi? Bang!
Set up punchline. That's why I always loved Rodney Dangerfield. Look, Shakespeare said it best. Brevity is the soul of wit.
But that's what you do, too.
Of course.
Like on I Miss, when you did the cardinal character. Yeah, boom!
An economy of words. Get it out there. Bing, bang, boom. Yeah, no, the point is this. The city's dying, and this is all he cares about. I get on stage with Jerry Seinfeld. That's all he cares about. That's why I say our elected leaders here, that's why we're in the shape we're in right now. It's horrible. Horrible. We had the president yesterday. We talked about it last hour. Big, humongous peace deal. Everybody agrees it's a great deal, except not Schumer's colleague Nancy Pelosi, because she said this.
Good for him for having a distraction on a day when the numbers of people who are affected and the numbers of people who are dying from this virus only increases.
So can you believe that, though? Can you actually believe that?
Is that even true?
No, the numbers are going way down here in this country.
Nobody's dying.
But this is how deranged they are. They're sick in the head. Now, remember when the president was going to move he announced that we're going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. It was going to be World War III. Here's the fake news, and you'll recognize a lot of voices here. Take a listen to this.
He said the president-elect's campaign pledge to move the U.S. embassy to the disputed city of Jerusalem would inflame the Arab world.
You'd have an explosion.
John Kerry.
An absolute explosion in the region.
For sure, the president's unilateral action will get people killed.
And equally importantly, it's going to stop any hope of Middle East progress in the peace talks.
What he has done is thrown a diplomatic bomb into the Middle East peace process.
This would put Egypt, Saudi Arabia in a very awkward position.
And if you think Benghazi and what happened in the embassy there was a low point and a violent act, imagine this in with a bigger magnitude.
You believe this? You believe this nonsense? And so yesterday they were, I'm not even going to play it. I have another montage of them yesterday downplaying that, again, along the lines of Nancy Pelosi, it's a distraction, it means nothing, this, that, the other. Even Chuck Todd, this ain't no big deal. This doesn't mean anything. It's unbelievable.
And he's Jewish. Chuck Todd.
Yeah. I mean, this is this is historic, of course, along the lines of the Camp David Accords, etc. And you had Kamala Harris yesterday. She was in California. These are our elected leaders. She was in California taking a page out of Donald Trump's book, touring the wildfires, getting a sense of the damage, etc., etc. But she did not, and you see the videotape on TV right now, she did not visit, and this happened in Los Angeles. She did not visit the two shot cops.
She didn't.
She did not.
But she called Jacob Blake's father.
And said she was proud of Jacob Blake and the father, who is, by the way, a big Farrakhan supporter.
Yes.
These are our Democrat elected officials. It is a complete and total disaster.
Well, stick with that Los Angeles thing. I know the sheriff a couple of days ago issued a challenge to LeBron James. If you folks do follow this, the Nuggets actually came back from a 3-2 series deficit and beat the Clippers last night. So the Denver Nuggets are going to play LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals for the right to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. That series starts on Friday night. So LeBron James has 2 days before the series starts to take the sheriff up on his offer, which is give me like $300,000, which to LeBron James is nothing, and help find this lowlife who shot those two cops.
Of course, see, he's had plenty of time to respond and pony up that cash after what he said. Listen, he and this Black Lives Matters and these athletes, and particularly LeBron James, they're inciting violence against police. You had those two cops were shot in the face and the arm, and it was horrific, an attempted assassination. You can lay that right at LeBron James's feet, and he did it before with the hands up, don't shoot hoax. I told you, I mentioned this many, many times. He wore the hands up, don't shoot shirt back in 2014, and then we had two cops assassinated in Brooklyn. Yesterday, you had in Virginia, a patrol car was shot at. You had in Phoenix, you had a federal a courthouse officer outside in uniform. He was the victim of a drive-by shooting. He did not get hit, but they shot at him, and they didn't catch the people. So it's a real thing with these people. The Black Lives Matter and the people who support them, the corporations, all of you people are responsible for any of these cops that get shot by these deranged individuals because you're pumping out this fake narrative that all cops are racist brutes. And that includes Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Barack Obama and all these corporations that donate money and any of these idiots in the suburbs that put Black Lives Matter signs on their front lawn. You're inciting violence against police, plain and simple. 1-800-848-9222. We'll come right back.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
With gorillas down my street. From my window I'm staring while my coffee goes cold. Look over there.
Where?
There's a lady that I used to know. She's married now or engaged or something, so I'm told.
Joe Jackson, 7:29 on your hump day Wednesday. Is she really going out with them? Still to come, Diamond and Silk next hour. They are really entertaining. And then the brilliant, and I mean brilliant, attorney Alan Dershowitz. What a guest list today. Great guest list today. And then Beat Bernie. So I did tell you that I was followed by some old lady on Amsterdam Avenue yesterday. We're going to get to that next hour because I wasn't wearing a mask outside. And I won't wear a mask outside. But this lady was relentless. And then Danielle got involved because she was afraid I may yell at her or get physical, which, of course, I would never do. But we'll get to that 8 o'clock.
I mean, come on, lady. Put them up.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, somebody will hit that lady one day. Won't be me, but you can't get in somebody's face and follow them. And I'll get to the specifics. But I got to tell you this quickly. So last night at dinner, we sit down, the four of us. And there's a lot of nights, at least in the Rosenberg household. I know it doesn't happen in the McGurk household, but in my household, where politics becomes the conversation. It just does. And my daughter, Ava, who you remember when, Bernie, she would come in 5 years ago when she was 11. Now she's 16. God bless her. She would come in, and she was a very big Trump supporter. You remember
that? She was, and very engaged. I mean, she knew what she was talking about. And she was a Trump supporter during the campaign, and I would imagine shortly afterwards as
well. Well, something happened.
Something happened in the intervening years.
She must have been kidnapped by a Taliban person or Al-Qaeda. I don't know.
Or maybe she went to the New York City public school.
Yeah. Oh, that's what
that
it
might
is.
Might be it, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So last night, we get in this conversation. And the next thing you know, it's just yelling and screaming, and she's furious, and she's talking over me, and you don't get it. When a white person says to me, I don't get it, well, how do they get it? She's like, you don't know what it is to be black. And I'm like, okay, well, how do you know? And the answer always is, well, I don't really know, but at least I'm sensitive to what the cause is, and I appreciate where they're coming from, and I don't really know, but I could sympathize with what they're saying. And you, Dad, you know, my daughter actually called me a racist once. I swear to God. And I'm like, Ava, take that back. I'm anything but that. And she did take it back and she apologized. But that's how crazy it gets, even in my own household. So she wants to come on the show on Friday. And I know our owner, John, wants to have, you know, one thing about Catsimatidis, he's running for mayor and you need to vote for John. Because what we have now is brutal. Bernie pointed that out last segment. But he does like to hear from both sides. And Ava will present a different side than you and I. So she wants to come on Friday. But I'm like, I don't know if Uncle Bernie's going to want that. If Uncle Bernie wants Ava coming on the air talking about how BLM is the real deal and, you know, Donald Trump is evil and all that stuff. So.
No, by all means, bring her on. I mean, she's your daughter.
You can't yell at her then because she...
I will not yell at her.
I know, but...
I will let her do her thing and politely try to interject question or two.
It's going to get so bad.
No, it won't. It'll be fine.
See, but you can do it. Like when I do what you get, I'm a father, so she yells at me. And like with you, she'll let you talk. She'll be more respectful. You'll say the same thing I say. But she won't be mad at Uncle Bernie. But Daddy's a bad guy.
Yes.
Right. So,
oh, yeah, you're family, so she can trash you more easily than she would, say, somebody like me.
In the spirit of this conversation, quickly we're going to go to Jeff in my former place of living, Boca Raton, Florida, on line one. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Hi, bejesus. Does Ava hang out with my daughter Paige, I'm wondering, because, you know, and it's tough because, you know, when you don't speak to him for the father, it burns you inside because you love your daughters. But I'm getting called a racist. Trump's evil. He's out there. I says, hon, you got to just look at the facts. But I think they're all brainwashed. I don't know what's going
That's
on.
That's what it is.
You know, and
That's
I got to tell you, Byrne, I talked to more and more people. I mentioned this to you last week. I mean it. People who will Facebook me, tweet me, send me messages who are Trump supporters like you and I, and their kids are not. And they don't know what to do. Like, their daughters are showing up at BLM rallies.
You saw the picture in the paper last week of the seven kids arrested for rioting here in New York City. Or it was actually, was it earlier this week? I don't know.
Yes.
They're all seven white kids.
Yeah.
And they're all rich kids, very privileged. You know, your daughter Ava, she has everything, tennis lessons.
Oh, please.
She has it all. Great parents, a great life. And the same thing with these kids, and they're part of something called the Black Liberation Front, and they're smashing windows, and they have everything. The Little Red Riding Hood, she is out on bail right now.
Yeah,
she's at her parents' second home right now in Litchfield, Connecticut. She's so oppressed. And what does she know what it's like to be? She has no idea what it's like to be black. Let her talk to Candace Owens.
Right.
Let her talk to Diamond and Silk. They're black.
Right.
They'll tell you the truth. They're not brainwashed. They think for themselves. They're not programmed to, you know, with this Democrat mentality.
Right.
Where you have to depend on the government. They think for themselves, and they know they can make it. No matter what the odds are, they can make it. Look, Ed Carranza tells the black
Rich
kids,
Carranza.
Rich Carranza, the school chancellor. He says that the blacks, well, they're not capable of passing the elite high school test here in New York City, so we're going to dumb it down. They're capable of passing. Jumaane Williams passed the test.
Yeah.
They're capable.
He's no rocket scientist.
That is what you call the soft bigotry of low expectations.
That's racism.
I would say it's overt bigotry.
Yes, it is. That's racism. Okay, well, Dominic Silk will join us coming up next hour. But before we do anything, we have to go to our dear friend, the lovely Deb Valentine, with the news.
Man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop chipping, I'm chipping off the power.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app and on News Talk 107.1 FM out on Eastern Long Island. For some reason, the president sat down with George Stephanopoulos last night.
He did?
ABC. Yeah, it was actually on ABC. It was nationally televised. It was billed as a town hall. It was a total ambush setup job. Every questioner was so hostile, nasty, to the point of disrespect.
I got to tell you, the guy's almost an abuse for punishment. I mean, we just did a whole week on that Bob Woodward interview where we knew going in Bob had evil intentions, and then he sits with George Stephanopoulos?
Well, he knows he's got to reach moderates and independents, and this is the way he thinks he can do it, and that's what he's trying to do. And he's not afraid. Like Joe Biden, he's not afraid. He can go out there and handle it. But however, here's a sample of some of the questions that were asked of him last night. I mean, with the social distancing, he's sitting there with this little beady-eyed weasel, Stephanopoulos, that's Hillary Schill. Take a listen.
You should know that some of these people voted for you last time around. Some voted for Hillary Clinton.
Why did you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus?
Why don't you support a mandate for national mask wearing? And why don't you wear a mask more often?
Why would you downplay a pandemic that is known to disproportionately harm low-income families and minority communities?
How do you like that? So they were all hostile questions. And there was one lady in particular. Play this lady, Matt Meany. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Should pre-existing conditions, which Obamacare brought to fruition, be removed?
No.
Please stop and let me finish my question, sir.
Do not interrupt me.
Should that be removed?
I hope you are taken seriously. I hope you are. And we are not going to hurt anything having to do with pre-existing conditions. They will not do that because they have socialized.
I have to stop you there.
You've been trying to strike down pre-existing conditions. I have it already, and it's a much better plan for you, and it's a much better plan.
So he ends up really debating the moderator. First of all, that lady, she had finished her question. She had finished it. She didn't add anything when she said, do not interrupt me. Let me finish my. She had finished her question. It was a lady in the audience. Handpicked by ABC News.
It wasn't like Martha Raddatz.
All of them hated his guts, and their questions, their voices were dripping with contempt. It was obvious.
I guess it's a good warm-up for him. We're now less than 2 weeks away from the first debate, September the 29th, which will be great TV. And we know that the three folks up there that night, Chris Wallace, Kristen Welker, they hate him too. So maybe yesterday was a good, I don't know, dress rehearsal, warm-up.
No doubt about it. He's getting sparring, training is what it is. Which is where Joe Biden, I played the clips earlier yesterday, was just incoherent, babbling. The debate is in less than 2 weeks. Trump is going to eat his lunch. Of course, everybody's lowering expectations. All Biden has to do is go there and complete a sentence. And they'll say, yeah, look, see, he was fine. He kicked Trump's butt. Now, speaking of the two cops that were shot out in L.A., and I mentioned this earlier, Kamala Harris towards the wildfire areas yesterday. She has, as of yet, not visited these two cops, though she visited Jacob Blake.
Miss Lockup a brother.
That's right. Miss Lockup a brother. She visited Jacob Blake's father, and she said she was proud of Jacob Blake. This man is under arrest for alleged rape. But she's proud of him, okay? Those two cops, they're in the hospital right now. They're no longer just clinging to life. They're actually going to survive. They're fine.
Thank God.
She was very heroic. She was putting a tourniquet on her partner. He's 24 years old while her jaw was bleeding. It was just awful. In any case, so you have these players still going out with Black Lives Matter. You have players going out, wearing on their helmets on what was it? Monday night football. The Steelers played who?
The Giants.
The Steelers played the Giants. Now there was the LA sheriff. His name is Villanueva.
Right.
There's also a player on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
His name is Alex Villanueva.
Yes.
And he actually served in the United States Army. He was an officer, and he did three tours of duty. I believe it was three tours of duty in Iraq.
And he came up actually 2 years ago because he didn't want to kneel for the national anthem.
That's right.
But he also didn't want to piss off his teammates. So he was talking about doing some real – he was going to go halfway through
the
tunnel.
I'll tell you what happened. They stayed in the tunnel, and he came out. And by the way, it was Afghanistan that he did his tours. They stayed in the tunnel, and he came out.
This Monday?
No, that was then.
That was then.
Now, on Monday night, they all wore the names of people who were there was one kid who was shot by the Pittsburgh police. Yeah. They wore his name. In other words, again,
Daniel Prude, Jacob Blake,
demonizing
George Floyd, Breonna Taylor.
Which is what they're doing. They're demonizing the police. Yeah. And they're inciting violence against police. That's what they're doing. And that we witnessed it, the actual consequences of those this incitement over the weekend when those two cops were shot. Villanueva puts on his helmet. He puts on the name of a fallen soldier.
Cool.
All the other teammates had the names of, again, this victim of a police shooting. I don't even know what the circumstances was. It was 2 years ago. And so he came out. So he's a hero. Villanueva is a hero in my book.
Well, but did he get his teammates yell at him? Did anybody?
Well, there's one guy named Chris Mack on his team. He says, I have absolutely no issue with honoring Alwyn Cash. And that's the name of the fallen soldier in Afghanistan. Doesn't mean we can't ask Al, A, why he departed from what the team did, and B, why he was okay covering Antoine Rose Jr.'s name. So he's getting some heat from his team members. This guy actually tweeted this. It would give him a chance to describe why a posthumous Medal of Honor for Sergeant Cash is so important to him. Mm. So the fact that he wore the name of a fallen soldier offended a teammate of his and others. But the Villanueva is a hero.
There's another guy in the Pittsburgh Steelers, I forget his name, he's a defensive end who came out about 6 weeks ago, meaning you should know this, and he said, ain't no way I'm kneeling for the national anthem. I will stand, hold my hand on my heart every time. What was his name? It begins with a T. Truisk?
Oh, yes.
He's Stephon on the Steelers.
Tuat, yeah, I know.
I think it is Tuat. He's a member of the Steelers right now, and he refuses to kneel for the national anthem.
There are some.
You're a Steelers fan
some
now.
Some that have courage. I'm not a Steelers fan, but I'm a Villanueva fan, and Latinos for Trump, baby. The L.A. Sheriff and this Alex Villanueva. Now, the ratings for the NFL are mostly down for the most part. Thursday night football, I think Fox did well on Sunday. CBS did not do well. Monday night football did not do well.
And Monday. Oh, there were two games. You mean Thursday night, the Chiefs and the Texans.
That's right, down.
But that Saints-Buccaneers game late Sunday afternoon on Fox did do well. Breeze versus Brady. It did do well.
Well,
maybe
we could play this for some of these New York City school students who are being brainwashed into thinking that cops are bad people, because this guy Jason Whitlock, who's a friend of yours.
Yes.
He's on Outkick.com. He said this about the decline in ratings in NFL this year so far. At the beginnings of the season. Take a listen.
Now everybody wants to be on the right side of history, so let me take a knee, and 20 years from now, they're going to write about me as I was on the right side of history. Well, what if you're doing the wrong thing right now? History will be decided later by, you know, whoever controls the narrative. And the NFL players, NBA players, are committing career suicide, financial suicide. They're setting a horrible tone for the rest of the country. They are some of the most privileged and blessed people on the planet, and certainly part of that blessing is being here in America. And for them to be the leaders of demonizing America, I think sports fans are just tired of it. We've gone through a really rough stretch here. 6-7 months of being locked down. Nobody wants to turn on a sporting event and be depressed even more because LeBron James is trying to convince everybody that there's a plot by the police to destroy African Americans.
He's got blood on his hands, does LeBron James, and Black Lives Matter does as well. And by extension, inadvertently maybe or intentionally, anybody who supports Black Lives Matter, and that goes for the athletes who stay in the locker room and all that, and that goes for de Blasio painting a BLM on Fifth Avenue and the mayor down in Washington, D.C., these corporations, all of them. They're all Delta Airlines for allowing their employees to wear BLM buttons. It's a domestic terror organization, a Marxist group, and they incite violence against police. And we saw it over the weekend.
Yeah.
Bottom line, end of story.
That's it. Jason Whitlock has a lot of courage as a black man to come out and say that. Joe Lisi and Harry Mays check in. His name is Stephen Tuitt, and he's on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he refuses to kneel, African-American gentleman, for the national anthem.
Notre Dame graduate, I'm told.
Yes. Very good.
Fighting Irish, baby.
There you
have
it.
That's Regis Philbin's team, yes. I gotta love the Irishman.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
These agreements prove that the nations of the region are breaking free from the failed approaches of the past. The people of the Middle East will no longer allow hatred of Israel to be fomented as an excuse for radicalism or extremism, so important. And they'll no longer allow the great destiny of their region to be denied.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Almost forgive him for Yoko Ono after you hear this song, right? I walked over to Bernie as this song was playing, and I tried to make love to him, buddy.
Easy.
Can't help it. This song does something to me, and I think Piscopo sang this one, too, at Cacciamattini's birthday party. But there he was, President Donald Trump, and a lot of this segment will sound a lot like the 6 a.m. segment. Because that's how it works in radio. We've got 15-minute intervals of and all this nonsense and Arbitron stuff. I believe in none of it, just so you know. But we have bosses, and they make me do stuff. And you too, Bernie. So you may have heard this, or maybe not. But as a Jewish male living in New York, and Bernard, as an you're not Jewish, but you are a Zionist and a big friend of the Jews.
Of course, as our most right-leaning individuals. They support the state of Israel.
Yes. You have a best friend named Dave Wiener. I know Dave Wiener very, very well.
Oh, my God.
We had one night that lasted 6 months.
Stop.
Anyway.
listen, I used to live in a building where, as I said many, many times, the directory read like Schindler's List.
Oh, that's like the old joke. This guy's so old, he's actually on Schindler's List and Craigslist. See what I did there? By the way, that's two different things. Anyway. So Donald Trump gets this deal done, along with his son-in-law. You know, we should mention Jared Kushner, because he was also integral in getting this done. And on the cover of today's New York Post, you're going to see the president with Bibi Netanyahu and the foreign ministers of both United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. And I got to tell you, and I bring up my brother-in-law all the time, and he's probably mad. I don't talk to my sister much these days because she's up in the country and she's COVID crazy. And she's not even inviting her own kids over for Rosh Hashanah over the weekend because she's COVID crazy. But my brother-in-law, Harry, his parents, Holocaust survivors, they're gone now. Lovely people, Joe and Henya. And yet this guy will vote Democrat. He loved Obama. Yes, the same President Barack Obama who sent pallets of cash to the Palestinians, which went right to Hamas, which also goes right to Iran. The same Barack Obama who made Bibi Netanyahu, walk out the back door. The same guy that wanted to go back to 1967, who refused to recognize the Golan Heights as part of Israel. The same guy that refused to move the embassy to Jerusalem. The same guy that was friends with a priest minister, whatever you call that guy, in Chicago.
The Reverend, right, and took a picture with Louis Farrakhan.
Right, who hated the Jews. So my brother-in-law hates Donald Trump, and I just don't understand why. Everything this guy does. Now, I've had people say to me, Sid, enough already. I'm Jewish, just like you. But I live in Queens. I don't live in Tel Aviv. I don't care. And what these idiots, and I hate to use that word because I'm in a good mood today, what they don't understand is when Donald Trump does what he does with the state of Israel to help improve the Middle East, that does have repercussions here.
Of course. Are you kidding? I mean, it leads to less wars, A, that we have to get involved in. Less conflict in the Middle East is good. Though we are energy independent, so we can step back a little bit, thanks to the president. I mean, that's another plus for him. I mean, I don't understand how any level-headed person, Jewish or otherwise, cannot vote for President Trump based on what he's accomplished in his 4 years, including foreign policy, crushing ISIS, which helps Jews and the state of Israel, and it helps Americans.
No, there's no question.
I mean, on so many issues, I cannot understand. It's a sickness. It's a derangement, as they say.
But especially the Jewish people, because of what has happened here with Israel and the Middle East just yesterday. And we're on the eve here. Tomorrow's the actual eve, but Friday night is the first night of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. We are now about to go over the next 10, 11 days, the holiest period in the Jewish calendar. In fact, I'm off next Monday for Yom Kippur. This is as big as it gets for us the next 10, 11 days. So when you couple that with the deal that Donald Trump did yesterday, the last couple of weeks, really, with the Arabs, it is just an amazing, amazing time. And if any people, at least this week, should be appreciative of Donald Trump's efforts, it should be the Jewish people.
It should be. You would think, anyway. Listen, there are a lot of Jewish people. I see it's anecdotal. Again, I live out in Long Beach. I was talking to my friend Larry Srego.
Very Jewish.
On the boardwalk.
Very Jewish.
Just this past weekend. And he was telling me about he loves the show and he doesn't understand just what you were saying, exactly what you were saying, how Jewish people, and he's got problems with some of his family members because he's made the conversion. So there may be more Jews that have made the conversion to the President Trump based on his performance over the past 4 years, especially vis-a-vis the state of Israel and law and order, the economy, I mean, a million other things. But there are people out there who have made that conversion. Maybe they're afraid to speak up. I don't know.
Hopefully they speak up in the ballot box on November 3rd. Diamond and Silk will join us at 8:40. Then the brilliant attorney Alan Dershowitz. We've got an amazing show still to come your way. So I did hint at this earlier, Bernie. Yesterday I went tanning because I'm tanorexic and the weather's now in the 60s and 70s. I can't get that 90-degree sun and I'm terrified. That's how crazy I am. And you know my buddy Raul owns all those tanning salons. So I go visit Raul yesterday on 73rd and Amsterdam. And I'm walking from the sidewalk into the tanning salon, and all of a sudden, some sweet little old lady walks up to me. Had to be 85 years old. White head of hair, blue winter jacket, like it was 30 degrees, it was probably 60. Got the mask on, and as she's walking towards me, this is what a psycho I am. I'm going, huh, must be a fan of the show. She's going to say something nice about Bernie, something nice about Sid. This is going to go very nicely. Okay. Walks up to me, right in my face. There's your mask. I go, ma'am, I First of all, why are you talking to me? I don't know you. And second of all, I don't wear a mask outside. Why? Well, ma'am, the science doesn't dictate that I should wear a mask outside. You don't get it. It's a pandemic. The science dictates exactly that. You're killing people like me. Put your mask on. So the next thing you know, I'm getting into it with this lady. Now, my wife is standing a couple of feet away, and she's nervous that I'm going to say something.
Or that you're going to punch her in the face.
Right. And people have cell phones, and it's like, oh, my God, somebody's going to tape Sid Rosenberg either yelling and screaming or, God forbid, getting physical with some old lady. No, I would never do that.
Did you consider walking away?
That's exactly what I did. So I walk away. I don't even go into the tanning salon because I'm hungry. I'm going to get a slice of pizza first. I walk away. I walk about a half a block. I look to my right, and there's a lady. I said, what, are you going this direction? No. I said, well, why are you standing next to me? She said, because I'm going to follow you all day, no matter where you go, unless you put a mask on.
These are these Upper West Side pussy hat wearing hypocrite liberals.
I go, lady, I'm going to call the police. And she said, good, call the police, because you're not following the rules. You're not wearing a mask. I said, lady, there are no rules. The rules that you're following are set forth, and this is where I got a little crazy, by our idiot governor and our even more moronic mayor. That's what I said to her. Now, if you don't believe me, folks, if you don't believe me, like Bernie does, I've got the audio to prove it. Because here is Governor Cuomo making the case for this ignorant old lady.
New Yorkers, I'm asking to report violations of that 25% capacity. We'll have a special alert phone number, text number that will go to the task force. And we ask people, if you're in a restaurant and you see more than 25% in that restaurant and indoor dining, you text the violation, the information, to the task force. It will all be anonymous. The restaurant will not know.
New York was the first state in the country to have a mask mandate. And look, mask mandate. Oh, Governor Cuomo's ordering me to wear a mask. I can't order you to wear a mask. The government can't order any of these things. 19 million people in the state. Do you think the police could make somebody wear a mask, make somebody stay home, make somebody social distance? The community did it. People did it. Common sense did it. You walk down the street without a mask now, they give you a dirty look. Good. The dirty look is fine. Why? Because you are disrespecting me.
Now, this lady wasn't out there to take a picture of me, which has been done. I've complained about that to you too, Bernard. She wasn't ratting on me, but she was doing what Cuomo said on that second part, which is, if you're not wearing a mask and they want to give you dirty looks or follow you for four blocks,
in other words,
good.
Harass you.
Yes.
Which is what the left has been doing. They've told Maxine Waters and the rest of them, they've all exhorted people, actually, to get in their faces. I think it was what one of them said. I don't know who was it. Eric Holder or somebody like that, get all up in their faces, which is why you see these crazies marching down the street, these Black Lives Matter. The people dining outdoors, they get in their faces. It's an extension of that. It's all part and parcel of the same thing. This is what happens in totalitarian countries like the Soviet Union, rat on people and also, you know, take action in the streets if need be and harass your comrade, if he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. This is a totalitarian approach. This is what we're dealing with. This is the choice we have in November between that mentality and liberty. That's what we have.
So here I am, Mr. Brooklyn Tough Guy, right? All roided up and working out. I'm Mr. Tough Guy. And I'm sitting outside trying to enjoy my Greek salad. I love a nice Greek salad. I love feta cheese. And I like the chicken very, very thinly sliced. This is not very important information, but I'm giving it to you anyway.
Feta cheese.
Yes, the feta cheese. And I'm sitting outside on like 74th and Amsterdam. And my head is darting in like 90 different directions. And Danielle goes, are you nervous? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. But the truth is, I was looking for this old lady. She terrorized me, right? I mean, and she actually, I was actually nervous she was going to walk up to me during lunch and like sit next to me, which she threatened she was going to do. Now, as it was, she disappeared. I didn't see her again. But can I tell you the God's honest truth? I dreamed about her last night.
She caused, first of all, she almost made you soil your pants.
Yes.
Is what you're admitting to. And
yes.
An 85-year-old woman on the
yes.
Upper West Side.
Because I don't know how I was going to react.
And then you had nightmares.
I had nightmares.
Well, maybe your wife should have punched her. Well, maybe not. We don't want violence, do we? It wouldn't be cool for you to do it.
No, but... Yeah, maybe Danielle should have. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. There's 9 million stories in the Naked City, Bernard.
Wow. Welcome to 2020, folks.
Welcome to 2020. Dominic Zucker coming up soon.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. We are heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. And simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And speaking of Long Island, the price of homes has skyrocketed. The highest in Nassau and Suffolk in history. I was watching that on local Channel 12. Speaking of which, Governor Cuomo gave an interview to my local cable news Channel 12. And they asked him about Halloween. This is what he said.
I would not ban trick-or-treaters going door-to-door. I don't think that's appropriate. You have neighbors. If you want to go knock on your neighbor's door, God bless you.
Isn't that nice? Generalissimo, il duce.
But you got to wear a mask.
Cuomo.
Right? You got to wear a mask.
Yeah, well, he says he'll put out some guidelines, and you do what you want. You do what you want. Mm-hmm. Don't go to that old lady's house, except... the kids, you know what? I would wear a Cuomo mask. You go to the old lady's house with a Cuomo mask on, and she might drop dead of a heart attack after what he did to over 10,000 seniors. Now, I mentioned earlier, the president did a town hall with that beady-eyed little sneak, George Stephanopoulos, and it was just a horrible setup. It was horrendous. The most angry gaggle of town hall attendees asking just awful questions, setup questions, and of Judge Stephanopoulos himself. But the president is out there. He's putting himself out. He's trying to reach independents and moderates. He knows he has to, and that's his way of doing it. Plus, the guy's got a pair. He'll go on. He'll go on with anybody. He doesn't care. But he was trying to, you know, he was trying to be considerate to these angry, really, some of these nasty people last night. But in any case, Joe Biden also was out. He realizes he's in trouble in Florida, among other places. And so he went down to Tampa. Remember the day before he was leaving his mansion to go to that that press conference?
Yes.
And the reporter, where are you going to be tomorrow? I don't know. Where am I going to be? Oh, well, it was Tampa, Florida. And you know who showed up, by the way, outside his event?
Tom Brady.
Trump supporters.
Well, that would be Tom Brady.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump support. No Biden supporters. Trump supporters outside. But the point is this. Joe Biden is really demented. He really, really, really is just, as I've said before, he's a vegetable. He's got nothing. He should just be put in a wheelchair, put a blanket over his legs, and let him look at TV, Wheel of Fortune, the sky, whatever it is. This is him yesterday. He doesn't even know who's going to be the president after Election Day. Take a listen.
He says, daily troop updates. U.S. troops died in Iran and Afghanistan. Harris Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort.
So, first of all, it was Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
Not
Iran.
And a Harris Biden administration?
Well, that's what it's going to
Look,
be. Even
I'm telling you,
soon.
It's every single day.
Yeah.
Every single stinking day with this guy. I mean, it's bad. And the debate is in less than 2 weeks. Now, also, this. Take a listen.
If you could take care, if you were a quartermaster, you can sure and hell take care of running a, you know, department store thing, you know, where in the second floor of the ladies' department or whatever. You know what I mean?
What?
Now, he's had a mask. He has a mask on. But,
I mean, come
but still,
on, Joe.
It's unbelievable.
See, but here's the problem. When Donald Trump destroys him, coming up in less than 2 weeks on September 29th, the first debate, Trump supporters like you and I are going to be like, ha-ha, told you. Trump knows what he's doing. This other guy you've described as a vegetable, to be specific, a cauliflower, right? Okay. The Biden supporter is going to go, boy, I got to tell you, Trump really is a bully. He is just, he doesn't stop. He doesn't shut up. He's a bully. I'm telling you, that's the way it's going to go.
Well, he's going to end. He's going to end up debating the moderator. It's going to be Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace will do what Joe Biden can't do, which is debate Donald Trump. That's what's going to happen. That's my prediction. That's what they're all going to do. Kristen Welker from NBC, same thing. She'll pick up where Biden leaves off and finishes sentences for him and says, well, I think he means it. And Trump is going to debate the moderator. And maybe Trump will call out the moderator.
Get her out.
And that'll be good. But he did say this yesterday about Joe Biden, the president. Take a listen.
He's reading notes and he's reading teleprompters all the time and he doesn't read them well. The man is shot. Let's face it. We can't have a man who's shot because you know who's not shot? Putin, President Xi, Kim Jong-un, they're not shot. They're world-class chess players. Joe isn't equipped to be president. He's shot.
Can he? I mean, you wouldn't trust him to watch your son,
no,
Gabe, for an hour.
I wouldn't. And Trump is right. The way he described these other leaders, some of which I guess are quote unquote enemies, he will be taken to task for that, even though he's right. They are world class chess leaders. They're vicious, they're brutal, and they'll do whatever it takes to further their agenda, but he'll be taken to task. Somebody will say, oh, look at Trump. Look at the love he gave to Putin. He called him a world class chess leader. Yeah. Because he will cut your throat and whip you to bleed to death.
As he's described them in the past, they're killers.
Yes.
They're vicious killers. Look,
but that's what the president has to be. You can't be a
exactly.
nice guy.
They're killers for their country. We have a killer for our country, a chess player for our country, and that's great. And I will say one more thing. The reason why Latinos are all pulling for Trump, mostly pulling for Trump, is that they know their roots, where they came from, these Venezuela, Cuba, et cetera, these socialist countries. Here's one of the Trump supporters that showed up. This is outside Biden's event. Take a listen.
They all supported the president because people from Venezuela and Cuba, they lived through the socialism. They know what it is. We don't want it to repeat in this country.
We don't want it. They know. They've experienced it. And these little idiots in the street that are marching with Black Lives, these morons with the Marxist organizations, they have no idea. It sounds good on paper, maybe, but it never works. It's got to be capitalism. It's a tried and true blah, blah, blah. Diamond and Silk on the Bernie and Sid show. They're coming up next.
I like the song. Diana Ross, Inside Out. Boy, you turn me. Hey now, upside down. 8:42 on your hump day Wednesday morning. Been a great show. Dove Hyken was terrific, and the brilliant attorney Alan Dershowitz will join us at 9 o'clock. He's suing CNN for like $1 billion. I don't know. He's going to win because he's great, and they're terrible people. Listen, I remember a couple of years ago, Bernie said to me, "You see these two ladies? It's a Diamond and Silk." And back then, I wasn't a big Trump supporter. I wasn't watching Fox News. I had no idea what he was talking about. I swear to God, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. I thought he was at like Rick's the night before. I swear to God,
Diamond. Oh, I see. No, Diamond and Silk. These two ladies are gems.
Gems. So they go into the studio for the first time, and I say to one of them, I forget if it was Diamond or Silk, I got to tell you, you ladies are brilliant. You don't really care about Donald Trump. You probably hate his guts. You're black. I'm Jewish. We don't like Donald Trump. But you're making a ton of money. And I had to apologize because, as it turns out, they were being very sincere. They actually love Donald Trump, and they've gone on to become his biggest supporters.
Well, they were on the Trump train early.
Yes.
It wasn't some Johnny-come-lately after all his accomplishments. They saw promise, and they were there early,
they
to
did.
Their credit.
No, they went the ditch and switch. I've done the same thing. I voted for Hillary, and now I'm all about Trump in 2020. So we're all ditch and switch. Here they are, our two dear friends, lovely ladies, Diamond and Silk. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are you all?
We're great.
We are great.
New York
yes.
loves you, Diamond and Silk.
Yes, we all love
oh
you.
Oh, my God. We love y'all more. I miss you all
so much. We love you all so much more, but we do not like your governor or your mayor.
I know. Something's got to be done about that.
That's right.
Listen, we hate them, too. Trust me. Believe me, I live in New York. Bernie and I both work in New York, so we have genuine disdain for both of those gentlemen. But forgetting about them right now, let's go to the big one, the big race coming up November 3rd, ladies. We're now less than 50 days away. Less than 50 days away. Tell Bernie and I and our listeners why Donald Trump is going to earn a second term.
because he already has a track record.
Mm-hmm.
And if you compare his track record to Jim Crow Joe Biden's track record, listen, mm-hmm. President Trump's track record is phenomenal. Listen, look at Jim Crow Joe. He's been in government for 47 years.
Yes.
Nothing. Name me one thing that he's done for America.
That's right.
Name me one thing that he's done for black Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. Now, take a look at Donald J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Low unemployment, home ownership at an all-time high. He's given more money to HBCUs than any other president in history. He's given raises to the military more than that they've given in decades.
Mm-hmm.
HBCUs, I talked about that. Listen, the First Step Act, opportunity zones, giving people a second chance at life. These are the things that President Trump has did. Excuse me, name me one thing that Jim Crow Joe Biden has done.
Absolutely nothing.
Not a damn thing. A Diamond and Silk on the Bernie and Sid Show. They're national best-selling authors, and their new book is called Uprising. Uprising. Mm-hmm. Go to Amazon.com for their new book. They have a new show. Before I ask you my question, the new show is Diamond and Silk Crystal Clear. Where can people go to see that?
That's on Newsmax TV. We come on every Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you go to NewsmaxTV.com, they'll give you a list of channels that were, you know, that you can find within your cable network.
That's right.
And also,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna just say with the book is Uprising. Who the hell said you can't ditch and switch? It's the awakening of Diamond and Silk, and you can also get the book at diamondandsilkbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
I am there. Amazon diamondandsilk.com. Forget Amazon and Jeff Bezos. Hey, listen, Diamond and Silk. Here's my question: the Republican National Convention was a smash hit, a home run. It was well produced. It was fantastic. It featured many prominent black speakers. The Kentucky Attorney General. Daniel Cameron, Herschel Walker, Vernon Jones, Alice Johnson. My question is, Sunny Hostin on The View said she dismissed all of them. All of them. She called them props. What is your message to Sunny Hostin?
You know what? And this is exactly why I was very happy that they used people that have benefited from President Trump's policy, because Diamond and Silk is not his only black supporters. And the reason why people like Sunny Hostin and them dismiss that is because they don't want to face the truth. See, Biden and them, they use Hollywood.
Right.
President Trump used average, regular Americans.
Yes.
And these are the people that have benefited from his policies.
That's right.
I love it.
I got to tell you, you two are very courageous, beautiful, great ladies. And I do believe, and we do believe, Bernie and I do believe that he will fare even better this time than he did last time, President Trump, with African Americans. But I got to imagine, Diamond and Silk, I'm on Newsmax too every now and then. Yeah, that's a very safe place. The Bernie and Sid show is a very safe place. Sean Hannity for you guys, a very safe place. But when you guys go out in the street, and have to face other African Americans who hate Donald Trump with a passion.
Mm-hmm.
How ugly
mm-hmm.
does it get for you ladies?
It don't get ugly for us because we tell them the truth.
Okay.
I don't sugarcoat it when it comes to black America. President Trump was in a town hall, I believe, last night with George Stephanopoulos. And a gentleman got up, and a black gentleman wanted to know when was America going to be great for him. Let me tell black Americans this. America is great for you because you was born in this country free.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't born in this country as a slave. You was born free. When people from Venezuela and Cuba run to this country, they run because they have a place to run to.
Mm-hmm.
If we allow left-leaning liberals to destroy this country, to fund our police, create this anarchy, where are we as the American citizens going to run? There is no other place to run because you stay in the greatest country on earth. So stop saying that America ain't great for you. Where are you going to go? The freedoms that you have over here.
That's
man,
right.
That is
I
so...
I wish I would have been at that town hall.
Man.
I would have shut that all down.
Oh, they were so, such a nasty, disrespectful audience, and that little weasel, George Stephanopoulos, it was horrendous.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question, Diamond and Silk. In addition to their new book, Uprising, and their show on Newsmax TV, they also have a podcast called Diamond and Silk, found wherever podcasts are found. Now, Kamala Harris, she visited Jacob Blake's dad. She said she was proud
mm-hmm.
of Jacob Blake. She was in California yesterday during the wildfires. She has said nothing and has not visited those two sheriff's deputies who were shot in L.A. in an
wow.
ambush. Has not even mm-hmm. spoken about these two guys, or these two people.
But you got to understand. saying this is how the left operate, okay?
That's right.
They are down with the criminals, and the victims, they could care less about that. Is that what you want running your country? Do you really want that running your country?
Hell
where
no.
Now whatever is right is wrong, and what's wrong is now right? It doesn't make any sense. Shame on Kamala Harris.
That's
shame
right.
on her mm-hmm. for her upholding a criminal but downplaying the victims that really need her at this time.
This is Diamond and Silk. If you're wondering, God, they are so entertaining and smart and funny. This is what they do, and they do it every day, and they're on Newsmax and podcasts and books, and we love them. All right, so Diamond and Silk, I don't know if you guys are sports fans. I am. I actually was reared in this business as a sports guy on WFAN here in New York, and of course I've graduated to become this brilliant political guy with Bernard here, but I'm still a big sports fan, and a lot of us sports fans, even though we're still watching sports, are very disappointed, if not angry and disgusted, with the NFL players, NBA players. What is the Diamond and Silk message right now, to LeBron James?
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to see the day that they go from making $13 million to making $13 an hour.
That's right.
I really can't deny. You are taking and you promoting this organization called Black Lives Matter,
yeah.
who happens to be a propaganda organization, who really wants to dismantle and disrupt the nuclear family. So that means they don't want a black child to have a mother and a father. You want to take and demonize and then feminize our black men and throw them somewhere in the corner. Then you talk about you a Marxist, okay? So now what you're promoting is socialism and communism. Black people don't know nothing about that in this country because we wasn't born no slaves in this country.
That's right.
The people that's here now. Yeah, so that right. doesn't make any sense. And then they pump all of this money into this organization. Where does the money go? Does it go to the black community? No. Does it go to any of these black businesses that's been burned down in the riots? No. Does it go to the people that need police funding? No.
Do it go to Black Lives?
That's right. No. So it doesn't make any sense. Stop pumping your money into an organization that don't care about black lives. They just care about telling black lies.
And here's the sad thing. Those same black men like LeBron James support an organization that do not support him as a black man.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. If LeBron James, if he had any integrity, he would put up some money to find this guy that went and took and shot those police officers
That's
for
right.
no reason at
and
all.
And the sheriff That's did right. offer him, the sheriff offered him that he would give him that, you know,
challenged him.
Right, challenged yeah. him, and he's done nothing.
That's
so.
Right.
Yes, your commentary on LeBron James is
I got it. Your Perfect. Commentary on everything is just priceless. It's great. Listen, Jim Crow Joe's the best. That's what Trump should borrow that from you. Listen, last question for me. The debates are in less than 2 weeks. I've been playing clips of Joe Biden all morning. The guy has his left shoe on his right foot and vice versa.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what state he's in. I mean, something's wrong with this guy. What do you expect out of the debates from, Jim Crow Joe?
I don't expect anything from Jim Crow Joe. Let's hope he show up for the debates. The one thing that I do know, though, we don't have to worry about Donna Brazile giving him the debate question.
Yeah.
The reason why, because he going to forget it anyway.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. We're dealing with a moron, somebody exhibiting moronic behavior,
mm-hmm.
not to call him names. Somebody like this here, Jim Crow Joe, can never get into the White House. He may start looking at those buttons and think it's his life call buttons. I'm falling, I can't get up.
Oh,
so I got to be careful. Listen, I want everybody to get the book Uprise and Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch and Switch, The Awakening of Diamond and Silk. Get it at diamondandsilkbook.com or anywhere they sell books.
All right. Listen, ladies, you are brilliant again. We do
Damn,
you
you're
guys.
Good.
Thank you. And one of these days, come into the studio because you know this pandemic is not for real. It's all nonsense. So come on in and breathe all over us. We're okay with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we don't care. Diamond and Silk, ladies and gentlemen.
We
the
love
book
you, too.
Uprising
you,
and the new guys. Show on Newsmax Saturday nights. Thank you, Diamond and Silk.
And coming up next, you guys are great. We love you. Thank you. Diamond and Silk, they are terrific. Coming up next, another great guest, a brilliant attorney who has decided with CNN, enough is enough. Alan Dershowitz on the other side.
Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Take the 815 into the city. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, we are heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk, 107.1 FM. And right now, we're honored to have a guest. His name is Alan Dershowitz. He's a constitutional lawyer, legal scholar. You all know Alan Dershowitz, but I'm going to just quickly set this up. He was during the impeachment hoax. Alan Dershowitz was a member of Trump's defense team, and he argued that the president, his push to have the Ukrainian officials investigate Hunter Biden is not an impeachable offense if he believes it will help him get elected, and it's in the public interest. It's a little complicated. He'll elaborate on it.
Right, but there's one story to just further that in today's New York Post. It just came out, a conversation that was leaked between Joe Biden and the president of Ukraine the week he was leaving, where they basically said, hey, let's keep in touch. And why would they do that? Because he has business interests in Ukraine. Just leaked in the New York Post.
Right. Okay. So anyway, Alan Dershowitz made this this case for the president. CNN edited the tape to make it sound like he said the president can do what he wants no matter what, no consequences.
To get reelected.
Which led Clinton former press secretary, a paid CNN analyst, Joe Lockhart, to say this after they ran that edited fake news tape. Take a listen.
This is un-American. This is what you hear from Stalin. This is what you hear from Mussolini, what you hear from from Hitler, from all the authoritarian people who rationalized, in some cases, genocide based on what was in the public interest.
Unbelievable. Anyway, here he is, Alan Dershowitz. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. You know, I went out of my way when I was answering the question to say that if the president did anything that was in any way illegal, of course that would be impeachable. I used the word illegal. I emphasized it. I spent my entire hour 2 days earlier in the Senate distinguishing between presidents who commit illegal acts and presidents who act legally. And then I said, essentially, that if a president does something in order to get reelected, but it's completely legal and lawful, the fact that he did it to get reelected the way Lincoln did when he sent the troops home to vote for him in Indiana during the Civil War, that itself would not be an impeachable offense. And then CNN doctored the tape. They simply took out my reference to illegality, and then they had Joe Lockhart getting on and saying, I said the president can commit any crimes, do anything illegal, and that makes me like Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini. Of course I have to sue based on that. That's not protected by the First Amendment. It was a deliberate, willful decision we believe we can prove, made from the very top in an effort to try to discredit my argument against impeachment. And it worked. It succeeded. It got people all over the country saying, oh, my God, Dershowitz says the president can commit crimes. He can shoot his opponent. He can tamper with elections. He can commit extortion and bribery. Exactly the opposite of what I said. So CNN is going to have to pay consequences for this. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this to make sure the American public gets the news straight, and I'm going to contribute the funds that I receive after paying my legal expenses to charities devoted to good causes. And so the CNN is really going to have to pay the consequences for its willful, deliberate decision to try to defame me by having me say the opposite of what I said.
You know, not that it has anything to do with your case and you're not going to bring it up. Well, maybe you will. I don't know how the law works. My wife's an attorney and so are you, but I'm not. They lost another case not that long ago, CNN, to this kid, Nick Sandman.
Yeah, that's right.
Right,
yeah.
And he sued them for a ton of money. And as far as I know, Alan, they paid him a ton of money. So I don't know if this works in your defense or not, but the precedence has been set where they've lied about something and they've had to pay for it.
Well, I would hope so. First Amendment allows you to make honest mistakes. That's part of reporting. But it doesn't allow you to take a tape and doctor it and edit it in a way that makes the speaker come out saying exactly the opposite of what he actually said and then call him Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini. Remember that Joe Lockhart works for CNN, so he's responsible. CNN is responsible for everything he says. Other commentators as well. A guy named Begalia said the same thing, that I have said that a president can commit crimes. No, I didn't say it. I said exactly the opposite. If a president does anything illegal, he can be impeached. But if he does something legal in order to get elected president because he thinks that's good for the country, that motive alone does not make it impeachable. That's what I said. That's what CNN knows I said. And that's what they made me say the opposite of by doctoring the tape.
Yeah, and it's very simple what you said. It's easy to understand, and it's they had to go out of their way to distort and make it sound the opposite of what you said. But let me ask you, Sid referenced Nicholas Sandman. He sued and he won. But you, Alan Dershowitz, you're a public figure. Now, the conventional wisdom goes that when you're a public figure, the bar is much higher to prove defamation. So
it is. It is higher. Look, I was one of the law clerks back in, believe it or not, 1963, 1964 in the Supreme Court. I was one of the law clerks on New York Times versus Sullivan. So I'm very familiar with that case. But the case says that if you can show reckless disregard for the truth, if you can show constitutional malice, even if you're a public figure, you have a right not to be defamed. And we are alleging specific malice, specific intention, a deliberate, willful effort to try to destroy my credibility by putting in my mouth something I didn't say. The Supreme Court has already ruled in a related case, a case called Masson versus The New Yorker, in a case where it was alleged that words were taken and misquoted, words that were never said were put in quotation marks. And even though the case involved a public figure, the courts ruled that it was defamation. So we think we're well within that precedent and that the First Amendment is not endangered here. The framers of the First Amendment did not intend to give the media a license to make up stories, to totally distort and lie, to put words in the mouths of people, and to edit and doctor tapes to make them say exactly the opposite of what they said. So, that was not the intent of the First Amendment.
No, of course not. Now, just to follow up quickly, if you win this lawsuit, I mean, wouldn't President Trump be able to sue CNN out of business if that's the case? I mean, they do this to him all the time.
Yeah,
they do it to him all the time. And, you know, politicians generally don't sue. And I think CNN didn't expect I would sue. They figured, well, you know, I'll just let it go by. I'll try to respond. But CNN banned me from their air, wouldn't allow me really to respond and make my case. And so I felt I had no choice but to sue. If this opens up and encourages other people to sue for willful, deliberate attempts to distort what people said, that would be a good thing for the First Amendment, not a bad thing.
Agreed. I think Jeff Zucker and Phil Griffin, MSNBC, should be sued personally, both of those guys, for the fiction that they put on every morning and report it as if it is the truth. So we really hope you win because we love you. And to be completely honest, you know, you've got a great case, Alan. You've got a great case. But I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up as well, and that is we had Dove Heikkinen on earlier, a good friend of all of ours. And we saw President Trump yesterday, what he's done here with the Arab nations, by Bahrain, the UAE. He says he's got a couple of more coming. He's standing there with Bibi, which Obama never would have done. So as a guy that may be the biggest pro-Israel guy we know, Alan Dershowitz, you ought to feel really good about the New York Post cover this morning.
I felt very good about what happened in Washington yesterday. I was, of course, invited to go, both by President Trump and by Prime Minister Netanyahu. But I'm 82 years old, and my family made a decision that they're going to keep me locked up in our home and not exposed to the COVID. So right. I had to watch it on television. I really, really missed it because I was looking forward to an opportunity to personally congratulate both the president and the prime minister, and to wish the prime minister, as well as all your Jewish listeners, a Shana Tova, a Happy New Year. Yes. Let's hope next year is a much, much better year for all America and for the world than this year has been.
But it's such a huge, huge deal. And yet, speaking of the aforementioned fake news, I mean, and Nancy Pelosi herself, they all are the same talking point. This is a distraction. This is no big deal. It's a distraction from all the deaths that the president created with the coronavirus. I mean, that's what they're claiming, believe it or not.
Oh, it's so terrible when you hear that. When you hear Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been a good friend of mine for the last almost 50 years, when he talked about losing his brother and how it affected his parents for the rest of their lives, and having his comrade die in his arms, and being himself wounded and saying, I understand the need for peace. If this helps bring about peace, it will be one of the greatest events in modern history. And to minimize it by talking about it as a distraction or as an attempt to gain political fervor is just to reject history. Yesterday was a historic event. Look, I voted for Hillary Clinton. I did not vote for Donald Trump. But for me, bipartisanism means that you commend a president you voted against when he does the right thing, and you condemn a president you voted for, Barack Obama, when he did the wrong thing, signing that Iran deal. So I will continue to condemn and commend based on what people do, not based on their party or whether I voted for them or not.
Couldn't agree more. I voted for Hillary Clinton, too, when I will be voting for President Trump come November 3rd. By the way, this will be the first year, Alan, in my life I have to go to YSCA services because I lost my dad about 2 months ago. So
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. It's going to be a very rough couple of weeks. But Lashana Tova to you, too, and your beautiful family. And we wish you the best of luck in this lawsuit because you should win. And it's about time somebody else put CNN in their place.
Come on and celebrate with us when you win.
Right. Take us to lunch.
Thank you, Alan. Good luck.
All right, Alan. Take care. Happy New Year. Alan Dershowitz on the Bernie and Sid Show. Beat Bernie. Still a
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, we heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. Let's go straight to, I haven't spoken to her in a long time. Annie is up in the BX. Annie in the Bronx, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Why, certainly, Annie. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. I'm a Sid. I never got to tell you. Sorry for your dad. I don't get a chance to call at this time.
I will thank you on his behalf. He's not here right now.
He's not? Okay. All right. Well, Bernie, I wanted to make a... 2 points, if possible. First of all, I want to say how intricate and interesting President Trump is. The things that he does that even we may criticize, maybe not finding it wise that after what he did with Bob Woodruff, he goes on with Stephanopoulos. But what he's doing is brilliant because what he's showing the public is, look how candid I am. If you listen to the recording between him and Woodruff, you could tell there's no malice. There's no cynicism. And furthermore,
and by the way, let me just stop you for a sec. Annie, he actually said it back in March, said the same thing. It was no blockbuster. This thing was a total flop. It was a nothing burger, to use a trite phrase. So, he handled it well. And, of course, I mean, it was just what he said. You're not going to create panic. You're going to take action behind the scenes and instill calm in the people so you don't have a run on all kinds of food and toilet paper and stuff like that. Even though we did, it would have been a lot worse.
Right, and then he goes on with Stephanopoulos. Right after that, he just tumbles on through, which shows even further proof of his conviction of the first interview. It's absolutely brilliant. If this keeps accumulating, all of these flings and arrows and attacks, all it's going to do is really veer people towards his energy, which is on another level. And I did want to say one quick thing, if possible, about the song Imagine. Imagine is a beautiful, beautiful song, and for decades, I've loved it. Listen closely to it. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's the most, it uses like maybe three poignant words like peace and love and imagine.
But listen
to the words, though. In one lyric, he says, imagine living life in peace. This is the last. Living life in peace. But whatever the first version says, imagine there's nothing to live,
Annie,
or die for. So it makes
sense. It's a beautiful thing. And Annie, look, I thank you for the call very much. And you stay strong up there in the BX, Annie. And the president, yes, he's staying strong. You mentioned he went on with that little Hillary shill, weasel, George Stephanopoulos. And just listen to, I mean, it was tough to watch, but the president went, he's got to win over moderates, independents, et cetera. But the deck was stacked. The audience, they were just dripping with contempt. A bunch of Trump haters in the audience in this town hall. Let's do a sampling of some of the questions from these people.
You should know that some of these people voted for you last time around. Some voted for Hillary Clinton.
Why did you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus?
Why don't you support a mandate for national mask wearing? And why don't you wear a mask more often?
Why would you downplay a pandemic that is known to disproportionately harm low-income families and minority communities?
Yeah, ABC didn't write that for you. I mean, it was really bad. But the president sat there and he kept his calm. And it's what he has to do. It's an election. It's a campaign is what it is. Now, The other guy was down in Tampa. Joe Biden, this guy is really, you talk about lost. I mean, this is really, really bad. He talks about not only a Harris-Biden administration, but he confuses one country with another. Take a listen.
He says, daily troop updates. U.S. troops died in Iran and Afghanistan. Harris-Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort.
Now, he's done that before with Iraq and Iran. He's done that a dozen times, but it's just it's over and over and over. And here he is again yesterday in Tampa, where, by the way, only Trump supporters showed up at his event. Only Trump supporters. Here he is with a mask on trying to make some point. You tell me what it is.
If you could take care, if you were a quartermaster, you can sure and hell take care of running a, you know, department store thing, you know, where... And the second floor of the ladies' department. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. The debate's less than 2 weeks away. The president yesterday, well, he's not pulling any punches. I mean, the media ignores it, but not President Trump. Listen to him on Biden's mental acuity.
He's reading notes, and he's reading teleprompters all the time, and he doesn't read them well. The man is shot. Let's face it. We can't have a man who's shot, because you know who's not shot? Putin, President Xi, Kim Jong-un, they're not shot. They're world-class chess players. Joe isn't equipped to be president. He's shot.
He's shot. He really is. That's true. You got to love the president's candor. Nobody wants to touch it or say he's shoddy. He belongs in a wheelchair with a blanket over his legs, looking at the Wheel of Fortune every night. That's it. That's all. Let's switch this up. Let's go to Danny on Long Island. Danny, I believe, is talking about the Steeler game the other on Monday Night Football, the Steeler Giants, where the Pittsburgh Steelers put. The victim, quote-unquote victim, he was shot by the police. Good morning to you, Danny.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for bringing it up. I bleed black and gold, and my son was watching this game with his Alejandro Villanueva jersey. Proud graduate of West Point, captain,
yeah.
Bronze Star, left cover to retrieve a wounded combat. The name of the person that the Steelers will wear was Anton Rhodes Jr. This is a victim of police brutality. He was involved in a drive-by shooting. When the police officers pulled over the car, it had three bullet holes in the door. They handcuffed the driver. Antoine got out and ran. He was shot when he turned. He had a 9mm pistol in his pocket. The videotapes of the drive-by and the victim state that Antoine was the guy who shot him. This is the person we're honoring. God bless Alejandro Villanueva, and I hope we have a lot more people like him. And the other guy, Tuit, he came from Jamaica, and he said, this country has given me everything. My mother came here with nothing. She raised 13 children. She graduated college, and I will never kneel before that flag. God bless those two individuals.
Absolutely. Look, Alejandro Villanueva should run for office when he gets out. He showed courage. Three tours in Afghanistan, as Danny pointed out, several of his exploits. But this guy, I guess, what is he, a lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Three tours in Afghanistan. Instead of wearing the name of that individual that Danny just described, who was shot by the cops, another saint. He wore the name of a fallen comrade. He scratched out that other name, and he put the name of a fallen comrade, and his teammates are wondering, why did he do that? Why did he do that? So somebody in the NFL, some players, have a pair, whereas the rest of them are actually encouraging, inciting violence against the police is what they're doing when they wear names of thugs on the back of their helmets, et cetera, and put it Black Lives Matter and whatever it is. All Black Lives Matter is inciting violence against the police, and anybody who supports it, including these athletes, are culpable. What were you going to say, Matt?
Oh, yeah, we got Beat Bernie coming up.
Bernie's coming up.
So we need somebody to call 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-WABC. Somebody has got to beat Bernie.
And Sid will be back by then. In fact, here he is now. But we're going to a commercial break, so we'll see you then.
It's Beat Bernie.
Time to beat Bernie.
On 77 WABC.
All righty. Time for Beat Bernie. You guys love this game. And we do, too. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Although you guys did a very good job of beating Bernie. We get a lot of ties. Not even a lot of ties, I should say. We get some ties, which, in my opinion, is as good as a victory for the contestant. But not a lot of folks, maybe three, in the months we've been doing this, have actually beaten Bernard. So let's see what our contestant today to do. He's out of the Bronx, where Bernie's from as well. And his name is Brendan. Good morning, Brendan. How are you, pal?
Hey, Sid. Doing all right.
Very good. You're a postman.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
Well, it's going somewhere. I don't know which direction. But yeah. I'll also tell you one more thing. I think this bit has kind of proven that Bernie's a moron.
You think he's a moron?
Well, you know, he ties all the time, and I think we're giving him a little too much praise here.
Wow, look at you. So you're that's some good trash talking right there. That's Reggie Miller. Well, you better win today. I mean, if you call him a moron, I'm okay with that. I disagree, but now you got to win, or else, you know, you look pretty bad. Don't you agree, Brendan?
Well, I work for the post office, so my bar is pretty low.
Right. Plus, you're capable any day of walking in with a sawed-off shotgun and a lot of people dying. That's what happens in there. All righty. So, good luck to you, Brendan. Not many people start the game by calling my best friend or partner a moron, but I think it's actually kind of funny. So, good luck, okay?
Thanks.
Here we go. Brendan, Joe Biden played what song last night in Florida? Came out with this rally, I guess, and some singer was singing this song when he came out. I do not expect you to get this, but what do you got for me?
Shaken by Eddie Money.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
I love that song, by the way, Shaken by Eddie Money. That's a great song. Bernie's not going to get that one right either, I don't think. Here we go. Number two, Apple announced plans for a new iPad and watch to hold their value. What is the company valued at recently? This was a big story last week in the business section in the New York Post. What has Apple been valued at recently?
That would be $20
trillion. $20
trillion. Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Not even close. Okay. All right, so two questions in, and maybe you're the moron. Anyway, number three, who was running for re-election and was famous for saying, quote, read my lips, no new taxes?
Be George Bush.
Yes. Good job. Thank you for that. Brendan's on the scoreboard. Brendan, here's number four. What CNBC host called Nancy Pelosi Crazy Nancy? Right to her face.
Jim Cramer.
Yes. All right, Brendan's doing well now. Let's close it out by getting the last three correct in a row. Here's your fifth and final question, Brendan, out of the Bronx. What is the capital of the great state of Alaska? Tough.
Fairbanks.
Wrong, you two-legged back of
all righty, not terrible, though. Even his answers were not way off, but Brendan got two right today. We're going to put Brendan on hold, and we'll bring Bernard in. Thank you, Brendan. He got two right, so now Bernie has to get three right to win again. We had something happen today's game that has never happened before. Usually when the contestant comes on, they're loaded with love and reverence for you, and they're just humble and happy to be here. But for what it's worth, Brendan, from your hometown of the Bronx.
The BX.
Yes, he actually said you're a moron.
All right, Brendan.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I said, now, why
by the way,
you...
that's my son's name.
I know that.
I thought it would be a friendly call or whatever.
Right, Brendan, your son's name. Yeah, you're both from the Bronx.
An Irish guy from the Bronx.
Well, he claims that because you don't win all the time, and sometimes you even tie, that maybe we're too hefty in our...
Praise
for you.
Well, I've always said you were way too effusive in your praise, and that's what happens.
I don't think I am. So, Brendan got two right, so maybe he's the moron. I don't know. We'll see.
You can't call me a moron and then just get two right.
You can't do that, right?
I don't think so.
But what if you only get two right? Then he's right. You are a moron.
It's possible.
All right.
Let's see what happens.
Number one, Bernard McGurk. Joe Biden played what song last night in Florida? When he got to the stage.
It was YMCA.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
Wait a second.
It wasn't.
No, that was Trump. Trump played YMCA.
Is that true?
That is his closing song. Oh, yeah, Trump's new closing song. Remember the Rolling Stones told him to stop?
Yes, he can.
It was
Satisfaction.
Actually Trump. So Biden, I got it wrong
too
already.
Late, yeah.
But, okay.
Is he kowtowing to the gays, Donald Trump? Is that...
No, but you've got to see some of the video. He's actually like bopping along to it.
I don't want to see that, no. The name of the song, and I thought I said the Eagles because I thought you wrote it incorrectly, Desperado, but the song is
Despacito.
Despacito, yes.
Despacito, I knew that.
How'd you know that?
I saw it in the news.
I didn't know.
That's my job.
All right, you didn't know it because you got it wrong. So here we go. Number two.
Right.
Bernie, Apple announced plans for a new iPad and watch to hold their value. What is the company valued at recently? There's a big story in last week's New York Post in the business section. What have they valued Apple at recently?
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. It's either 700 or 800 billion.
Right. Wrong, you two-legged back of
not even close.
Although closer than the contestant, he said $20 trillion. No, Bernie, the actual value of Apple these days is $2
trillion. $2
trillion,
yes. Really? Well, not as much as Jeff Bezos, which is $3
billion. Well, that's right, $3
trillion. He's
worth $3 billions, but the company Apple is worth $2
trillion. Okay,
right, all right. And he's Amazon anyway, not Apple. Tim Cook is Apple. All right, so I don't know.
Well, listen.
Brendan, I think he gave you the Maloikia. Called you a moron, and you're 0-2. Now, if you get the next three right, you win. Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
All right. He was running for re-election and was famous for saying, quote, "Read my lips, no new taxes."
Bush 41.
Bang. He loved you and I doing Bush 41. We were his favorites on the Amy show, he told us that. All right, Bernie. What CNBC host called Nancy Pelosi Crazy Nancy? Right to her face.
Jim Cramer.
Yes. Now get this right, please. I'm begging you. If you tie this guy and he said the reason why you're a moron is because you tie everybody, he's going to be right. You get this right?
Let's do it.
All right. What is the capital, Bernard, of the great state of Alaska?
Oh, Alaska. What if I said, well, if I said Anchorage, I'd be wrong. I know that.
That's right.
That's why I'm going to say Juneau.
Oh,
Do you know what I'm saying, Brendan?
That's a 3-2 win for Bernard. Brendan, it was funny the way you came on. It actually made for a very, very fun game today. I thought it was kind of cool. You don't really think Bernie's a moron, or do you?
No, I love Bernie, and he's the only guy on the radio who has the guts to defend Catholics. So, Bernie, I love you.
The only guts to do what?
Defend Catholics.
Oh, he defends the Catholics.
Defend the Catholics. Yes, indeed. No doubt, Brendan. I appreciate that. And you're my man. You're my brother. Where in the BX, by the way?
Woodlawn.
Okay, that's good. I used to live for a short time at 233rd and Woodlawn Avenue, right there across from the cemetery.
Oh, wow. Wow. Very cool.
Believe it or not.
Hey, I got one question for you, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was it like when Imus came into work deciding that he can dress up as a cowboy from the Village People?
When I came along, he had already been wearing that outfit for a long time. You were there for the transformation, Bernie. What was that like?
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was in New York City. I thought it was kind of laughable. But you know what? I have to tell you, in all honesty, you know, the popularity of country music has almost caught up to him. He was ahead of the curve.
He was.
But I thought it was just ridiculous, the cowboy hat in New York.
Yeah,
but
he did look silly.
Well, whatever. I mean
2000, country music wasn't a big deal in New York. He came to work every day with a gun and a cowboy hat. He looked ridiculous.
I thought so. But, the man is he's gone. And there are other.
So because he's dead, that doesn't mean 15 years ago he didn't look ridiculous?
Yes.
Okay. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
We are black here on the Bernie and Sid Show. And, Brian Kilmeade just said 75% of the police are retiring. Yeah, they want to get out. That's because why? Because you have, it starts with the domestic terror organization, the Black Lives Matter. They are inciting violence against the police, and a lot of society is falling for it, a lot of it. And a lot of the corporations, the mayor of New York City painting BLM on the streets of New York, the athletes. So the hero of the day is Pittsburgh Steel for me, Alejandro Villanueva.
Yes.
He's a lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Instead of wearing some perp's name that got shot by the cops because he got into an altercation because he was doing something wrong, he scratched the name off, and Alejandro Villanueva scratched that guy's name off. He's a former captain in the U.S. Army, by the way, 3 tours in Afghanistan, and he put the name of a fallen Army hero who he knew on his helmet. He is the hero of the day. Jackass of the day is big worm, actually, LeBron James, who has yet to respond to the challenge from another man named Villanueva.
Ironic.
Latinos for Trump, baby.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, the challenge to put up some money for reward money for the people who ambushed those two cops, those sheriff's deputies out in L.A. Silence from King James, the creep. So anyway, those are my heroes and my jackasses of the day. Kenny is in Long Beach. Good morning, Kenny.
Hey, good morning, guys. When I'm done, I'd like to ask you a question, if possible. What I wanted to say is, well, I've seen some videos with the rioters, and sometimes they get hurt. And what's the first thing they say? Call the police.
Absolutely.
Call the police.
Yeah, yeah. Call the popo. Call the popo that I just threw a brick at to help me.
They're such hypocrites. What I wanted to ask Sid is, Sid,
yeah,
why did you stop saying take it away, Elephant Boy, with the Invite Health commercials?
You know, it's fun. That's so funny you remember that. I mean, didn't we bring that up last week, the Elephant Boy thing and High Pitch Eric?
Did we?
You know, they changed the copy
yeah,
and the out, so we couldn't use that anymore. But
Kenny asks the probing questions.
Yeah, the probing questions. Elephant Boy.
What happened to Elephant Boy?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that'll do it. We don't have time to get to Joe and Lakewood. But look, it was a great show. Diamond and Silk were just...
they were great.
They were spectacular.
Great. Dove Hyken was great. Alan Dershowitz was great.
Tremendous. And... of course, you know, Joe Biden in Tampa yesterday provided a lot of amusement with his, stumbling, mumbling, and bumbling. I mean, he's just not going to make it. Forget 4 years, he wouldn't make 4 months. He's not going to win. Let's put it that way. And the president last night with that little worm, George Stephanopoulos, I mean, that ambush setup town hall. But the president acquitted himself well, and maybe he reached through some of the hate to get to some of the moderates, independents that he needs to get to, hopefully.
Let's hope so. Folks, we're done for today. Like Bernie said, back again tomorrow. It's a Thursday. That means Bill O'Reilly Day here on Bernie and Sid. Gorgeous day today, about 74 degrees
yeah,
and sunny, right? So go outside and enjoy your hump day Wednesday in New York City. From all of us on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, to all of you, until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, peace!
Beacon of Freedom, 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bay.